You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast for Tuesday. Looking ahead to all the action, as you'll hear, it's on William Hill Racing Radio from Redcar, Chepstow, Yarmouth, Galway and Newcastle. The team will be bringing you all the latest from those tracks, full tips, selections and previews from 10 past one on William Hill's Racing Radio. But for now, my name's John Gibby and I'm joined by Gary Capewell. Gary, how's it going?
I'm good, thank you. Join yourself?
Yes, very well, thank you. As usual, we're going to start off the podcast by getting your best bets of the day here, Gary. Your nap and your next best for Tuesday's action. So where does your nap run?
Well, the nap goes at Yarmouth in the 3:05. Obviously, it's the first day of a three-day meeting at Yarmouth. And we're going to have a look at the feature race, which is the 3:05. It's a Class 2 contest over 1 mile, 3.5 furlongs. Soft ground at Yarmouth. And the feature race has cut up a little bit, really. We'll go through them one by one. First of all, we'll get the selection out. High End is definitely a selection for Saeed Bin Saror. David Egan takes the mount. I'm pretty sure this horse is going to end up in group races in due course. He looks, to me, he looks the ideal horse. They'll probably run at the Carnival next winter. We'll see what happens tomorrow first, obviously. But this horse, yeah, he's unbeaten. He's 3 from 3. Winner at Epsom last time out. Obviously, it's going to be slightly different ground for him on Tuesday afternoon, but this horse won at Chelmsford in July on his racecourse debut by 5 lengths. He then won by 2.25 lengths at Wolverhampton in handicap company, and he beat Laurelina at Epsom last time out. And of course, Laurelina, I think, won yesterday as we record this on Monday afternoon. Pretty sure that horse won at Foss Lass on Sunday. So won that last race off 89, has been put up £8 in the handicap, but you know, I don't think it's going to stop the horse, to be honest. As I say, I do think he is a group performer. Of the others, Zach Mayo has been in good form. He's won a couple of times. He won at Ripon on his most recent outing. Sylvester de Souza rides him. The cheap pieces go on for the first time. Rare runner for Amanda Perrott at Yarmouth in the shape of Opinionate, who's 2 from 4 this season. A winner at Salisbury on good ground last time out, that was over this trip. Intellect for Sir Michael Stout, clearly something. We ran in the Melrose last time out at York, and obviously this is a much easier contest. A winner at Newbury back in July, and Iron Hallows had a good season as well. A winner at Sandown back in July, and finished 4th at Goodwood last time out, and goes up in trip, which I think will help. It's not a cut. It's not a complete shoe in that the favourite, or likely favourite, will win, but I'd be disappointed if High End can't make it 4 from 4. And as I say, I personally think he'll end up in group races via a Carnival handicap next campaign. We'll see what happens here, but I predict we'll see him at Maidan on the turf next January.
Yeah, it's quite a classy field here. Some promising horses looking forward for some top connections in this race. It's good to see Yarmouth having trying to patronise smaller courses. It's good to see Yarmouth putting on a contest such as this.
Yeah, I mean, they've got this is obviously the highlight of day one of the three-day meeting. They've got, I think, 2 listed races. They've got the John Musker Stakes as well on either Wednesday, and I think it's probably their Ladies' Day on Thursday, so I'm pretty sure they'll have a decent race Saturday as well. But this was it is the John Musker Stakes. It was 125-1 winner of that race a couple of years ago. That's the race that they're racing on Wednesday, and that's £40,000 in prize money to the winner. And there's a decent Class 2 sprint handicap as well. I think the Wednesdays is definitely better than Tuesday's fare from Yarmouth, but even still, obviously, it's good to see them putting on some decent prize money. Obviously, I think it might be their final 3 meetings of the season as well.
High end and up selection of Gary Capewell in Yarmouth 305 on Tuesday. What about your next best?
The next best is at Galway. Again, they've got a listed contest, the 405 in the Oyster Stakes. 12 runners go to post. Don't think this is the strongest listed race ever run. The highest rated in the field is actually Red Stars, the 4-year-old who's got an official rating of 98 for a listed contest. I think that's pretty poor. This horse is pretty useful herself, though. She was ninth in the Munster Oaks when she was last seen at Cork. She's had 93 days off since then. She won't mind the ground, so that's a plus for her chances. Remarkable Lady is a previous course winner who ran just the other day, the weekend on Saturday, finished behind Laganora in a Group 3. But well beaten, goes back up in trip, which will probably help. Your eyes are always drawn to anything Aidan O'Brien runs in these races, but Pocket Full of Dreams and Pavlenko have been kept pretty busy this campaign. They win in their turn, but you'd be disappointed if either of those was good enough to win, albeit I suppose it's interesting that Pocket Full of Dreams wears the tongue tie for the first time. Black Ruby finished sixth at Gore, and that was in listed company when she was last seen. She looks a little bit more progressive than one or two of the others, so I respect her. And likewise, Jew Line, who finished third behind Riven Light at Listowel just the other day, goes back up in trip, which will help. But I'm going to go for a horse. Obviously, this is a mile and a half race. This could turn into be quite a bit of a stamina test. So with that in mind, I'm going to select the Willie Mullins trained Airly Beach. It was obviously a pretty useful jumper in her time. She ran at the Cheltenham Festival last year. Obviously, she won a Grade 1 back in December of last year over hurdles. We know that she stays. We know that she'll handle the ground as well. She has had three runs on the flat of the day. Well, first of all, she was third here in the Galway hurdle, of course, behind Tigris River. Didn't quite get home on that occasion, but we know that she stays well. She's obviously won Grade 1s in the past. She won the Royal Bond Novice Hurdle by 6.5 lengths and won that well back in December. Obviously, she then went to the Cheltenham Festival. She was disappointing, very disappointing, actually, in the Mayor's Novice race and was fairly well beaten after that in the Mayor's Novice final at Fairy House, but that was much more like it at Punchestown when she was second behind Apple Shade in the Mayor's Champion Hurdle. She was third on the flat at Killarney before finishing third here in the Galway Hurdle, and she won a maiden at Tremor on her most recent outing, making most of the running. She doesn't have to lead, though, so it wouldn't bother me if she did manage to lead, and she'll be keeping on when others have cried enough as well, because she stays better. She's got to give weight to some of them, but it's not a massive amount. You know, she's used to carrying more than 9'7", in fairness, in her jumps races, isn't she? So I think she might be a fair price. Willie Mullins' horse is in good form. I think she's worth taking a chance on, so Airly Beach would be the next best in that 435.
7-year-old mare running in a listed race for the first time on the flat, having spent most of her career over hurdles. Probably looking for some nice black type for this mare before sending her off to stud.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. I mean, it looks better on her CV if she can have it under both codes. Obviously, she's got it over hurdles, but yeah, it would look a little bit better, of course.
Airly Beach, the next best selection of Gary Capewell on Tuesday. It's an illicit race at 4:45 at Galway, the Oyster Stakes. So, Gary, with those being your selections for Tuesday's racing, now let's look back onto Saturday. And the last time we did the podcast together was actually only a few days ago, and we were looking ahead to the St. Ledger. Well, now we can look back on the final classic of the season, of course, won by Capri for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. And, what did you make of the race? I mean, we said it looked like a good renewal going in, and I think it's fair to say that's the impression you get going out.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, the Irish Derby winner, Capri, managed to win the race, and I think Aidan was right in what he said afterwards, that he's got the class to win over a mile and a half, as he already proved, and he wouldn't be too afraid to drop him back down to a mile and a quarter either. He had to battle in the closing stages, and battle he did. They're talking potentially about him maybe running in the arc now as well, aren't they? And in an open year, you wouldn't really want to be ruling him out, because he actually will go there a little bit fresher than some of the others. Obviously, he had been seen on Saturday since his Irish Derby victory, and he did miss a little bit of work. So what we could actually say, you know, might well bring him forward again. Crystal Ocean didn't get home. I think it's fair to say he was given a good ride by Jim Crowdy, but he got outstayed, I think, in the closing stages. Stradivarius, who I said I couldn't see out of the frame, managed to hit the frame, and I think he suffered, really, by challenging on that far side running rail. I think if he had come down the centre, I think he'd have gone actually... I think he'd have gone very close to winning, because I don't think that far rail was the place to be. And also, he was racing by himself for a while, and he did get a little bit outpaced. There's no doubt about that. He was closing all the way back to the line, but I still think if he'd have been racing with the others, it'd have given something a bit more to chase. And I think he'd have certainly been second, whether he'd have won or not, I'm not just sure. But he'd have been second if he'd have challenged on the outside. I'm not saying it wasn't a poor rider, that'd be a ridiculous thing to say. But if he'd have challenged a bit wider, I think he'd have definitely been second. And Rekindling, I think, will make a nice cup horse for next year.
Few talking points to bring out of the race here, Gary. You said you thought that Frankie Dettori may have made the wrong choice by going for a Coronet over Stradivarius in his selection between the John Gosden horses, and looks like you're right.
She didn't get home either, I don't think, did she? It's something that I always look. You need the class, obviously, but again, it's proven the stamina. You need to stay. They got racing a fair way from that. Obviously, we had the issue with the pacemaker that went off, like the clappers, the anvil, and was 15 lengths clear at the end of the first half mile. And as I say, at Doncaster, it's a very long home straight, and you get racing a bit far. You know, they do get racing a good way from home, so it plays into the hands, really, of horses that stay a little bit further. Rainhouse, I don't think, got home as well. He travelled well, and I don't think quite got home.
Probably the same for Venice Beach, would you say?
Probably the same for Venice Beach as well. He was running a little bit more, almost a little bit, to try and take over the pacemaking duties, wasn't he? And Defoe was very disappointing, but again, I think he had to prove that he was up to the grade. And there were two Group 1 winners in that field, and they finished first and third.
Yeah. Right horses up at the head of affairs in the closing stages, you'd think. Bit of controversy on the day and since about the ride on the anvil. I've heard two angles on this. First of all, of course, there's the end of this conversation about pacemakers and how they've ridden and all of that. And that was the first point being brought up in terms of, can you really say when the horse has shot that far clear that it's being ridden to achieve the best possible placing?
It isn't. It's as simple as that. But it's been happening for years, hasn't it? Aidan O'Brien often uses pacemakers in races to guarantee that the best horse wins, or to try and utilise his horses to the best effect, I think it's fair to say. I mean, they did have him in Australia, didn't they, a couple of years ago in the Melbourne Cup, after the running or riding one or two of his horses who made the running. I can't remember the names of the horses, to be perfectly honest, but... they definitely had him in on one such occasion. I can't remember what year it was either, but that's probably why he's not so keen on going back, to be perfectly honest. It is what it is. I think it doesn't look good for people that are just there for the day out and they're just backing a horse, not really knowing that it's going to have much of a chance on the way it's going to be ridden. We do see pacemaker, of course, win races. Give the Slip was one of the best examples of that. Pacemakers that have... got out and not come back to the field. Doesn't happen very often, but it can happen. It's something that I don't really worry about too much, to be honest. But I can understand why people don't like it, and I say particularly for the people that are there that don't know that the horse is going to be ridden in a certain way, it's not really fair on them.
Capri, thinking about the winner again now, obviously the Arc has been mentioned as a possible target. It's almost because 16-1 for the race, but I assume the possibility he might not go is priced into that. What would you make of his chances?
Yeah, I think so. As I say, it's an open year. I would be surprised, to be honest, if he was good enough. But that said, he beat Cracksman, of course, earlier on in the year in the Irish Derby. And Cracksman, if he goes, is going to be single figures. So, obviously, he's improved again since. But I don't think we've quite got to the bottom of Capri yet. But I actually prefer, of Aidan's horses, I'd actually prefer last year's Third Order of St. George, who obviously won the Irish Ledger. last weekend, and he's definitely going there. He's swerving the Melbourne Cup. So,
listening to the way Aidan O'Brien was speaking to the press after the race, the implication seemed to be that this horse will stay in training at Ford. Do you think he can go on to go and win more Group 1s over sort of middle and maybe staying distances?
Possibly. I think they'll have to be early on in the season, though, for the middle distances, because obviously the three-year-olds tend to sort of dominate, don't they, once the height of summer kicks in and they're getting that big weight for age.
Well, that was the St. Ledger, the final classic of the season, the William Hill St. Ledger, of course, on Saturday at Doncaster, won by Capri for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore, a cracking renewal of the world's oldest classic. And that was the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. Gary, thanks so much for your thoughts.
Pleasure.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.